Well, it's good to see everybody this morning. It's good to be in the Lord's house. And it's always a blessing to be in the Lord's house, that's for sure. My sermon this morning is going to be existing or changing the world. One of the two, existing or changing the world. And this is in continuation in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 through 18 is what I'll be covering today. And I'll also be in some other places today, but the main verses this morning are going to be in Philippians chapter 2 and starting in verse 12. As we preach through the book of Philippians, before I get in there, I'm going to read some verses in introduction in Ecclesiastes, and you can put them in your notes as I get to them, and I'll be sure and let you know where they're found and everything, where you can mark them up. But anyway, existing or changing the world is the message today. Now, I want to start off with this question here. Can the Word of God challenge us as a church? Can the Word of God challenge us as a church to go somewhere, to actually get something accomplished? Can the Word of God do that? And of course, the answer is yes, it can, and yes, it should. And as an individual also, the Word of God should be challenging us to be able to do some things and those kind of things and move us to action. But this is what I want to say. In answer to that question, don't we want it to be something that not just challenges us to do something, but to be something that lasts? And when I say something that lasts, something that has eternal consequences as far as it's concerned. We want to affect the world from an eternal standpoint. And what I mean by that is we meet together, and it's great, and I think it's fantastic that we meet together. It's important that we meet together. But what I want to get at here is we want to take this to something beyond just meeting together. Like, for example, this morning, here we are, we're meeting together, but don't we want to actually have the Word of God challenge us to actually move us to action, to where we're actually sharing our faith with other people, and that other people are getting a chance to hear the gospel, and other people are coming to Jesus Christ and finding salvation that Jesus offers them? Isn't that really what we want to do? Because that's the thing that's going to make the eternal difference in every person's life. I mean, here we are this morning, and that's great. But what if we were able to, because we're here this morning, take what we're hearing this morning and take it to a lost and dying world and seeing souls saved? Or, here's another one. What if we, as Christians and as a church, we actually take God's message and we grow, we help each other grow? The term discipleship. A lot of times when we talk about discipleship, it comes across as, well, let's have a Bible study. And that's part of it. That's part of it. I mean, we want to study the Word of God, but we want to take it beyond that. The Word of God is something where we get with other people, and we share it, we help other people to grow. And that's how we actually can multiply, is actually sitting down, sharing the Word of God with somebody else, and maybe leading them to salvation if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then actually helping them to grow from there. But another part of discipleship is actually taking our faith and helping others to actually multiply as well. In other words, it's not just coming to church and having a Bible study. So once again, the question is, can the Word of God challenge this church to go somewhere, to actually see something accomplished, something with eternal consequences as far as that's concerned? Now, And one of the things that I do is I wear Christian t-shirts, okay? I'm one of those people that if I see a Christian t-shirt, I'm like, okay, I kind of like that one, I'm going to wear it. So some of us wear t-shirts, some of us have bumper stickers, some of us have nice jewelry to actually kind of share our faith with, and some of us, and I do this sometimes myself, will post verses on social media. We've all done that, right? A bunch of us have done that, put verses on social media. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. There's really nothing wrong with any of that. But let me ask you this question. Are we going to say that we're actually sharing our faith by just wearing a Christian t-shirt, by just wearing some jewelry, just by posting something on social media that has a verse on it? Is that going to be as far as we take it? Or are we actually going to reach out to our coworkers and share our faith with them? Are we going to reach out and share our faith with our neighbors? Are we going to actually work and make disciples and take it beyond just something that's on a bumper sticker or that's on a t-shirt? And I love those t-shirts. And really, I think a lot of us think that we're wearing the t-shirt in hopes that somebody sees it and it affects a conversation, right? And we can actually share our faith that way, or we put it on social media, a verse or something, and we hope that it reaches somebody, and maybe somebody says, hey, what is that talking about? And you say, hey, why don't we talk about it? These are the kind of things that the Word of God should be challenging us as a church and as human beings to actually be doing, is to take our faith beyond just statements, but on into people's lives and sharing our faith with people. I've got four verses that I'm going to share with you this morning in introduction that come from the book of Ecclesiastes. And the reason why I'm sharing these here is this part of Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18, Paul is actually talking about working out our salvation. Working out our salvation. And so when we talk about working out our salvation, we're talking about it actually being something that's reaching out. That's actually reaching out to people. And it's something that's on the inside of us that's working out. In other words, our life is actually counting for something. We're actually making some changes as far as that's concerned. In Ecclesiastes, one of the things that it says in Ecclesiastes, it talks about a term under the sun. And when we see under the sun, it's talking about on this earth. And a lot of Ecclesiastes talks about another word called vanity. And this word vanity is talking about, or vain, being vain. It's talking about, it's really not accomplishing anything. I mean, we like to think that we live our lives, we do the different things that we do, and we're making a difference. And Ecclesiastes says there's a lot of things that we do under the sun, in this earth, that really don't really amount to something with eternal ramifications. And so the first one that I want to read to you, if you're taking notes this morning, is in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Now listen to this. In Ecclesiastes 1, 2 through 4, the Word of God says, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher. And that's how he terms himself as he writes this. "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher or the proclaimer. And then once again, "Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun?" So there's that term, under the sun. And this reminds me of a Bible verse in the book of Matthew where Jesus himself says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things that we need shall be added unto us," right? And so this is really going right along with that particular verse that Jesus said. But the writer here says, everything under the sun really that we do in this life really is vain. Now that's kind of depressing, isn't it? We hear that and we think, man, that is depressing. I'd like to think that what we're doing matters more than that. I mean, we go to work and we raise the numbers at our corporation and we beat last year's numbers and we get an award for it. And really, and I've come from that kind of background too. And somebody said, "Do you miss it?" And I said, not only do I not miss it, but I don't think they miss me either, even though I might have a good year or something. You know, one of the weirdest things is our retirement parties that we have, and they give us a pen or they give us a plaque or something. You know, and this is what he's kind of saying here, is there's really something bigger than what's under the sun. There's something bigger behind the scenes. He goes on and says, "A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever." And we know this is true. We know that we're here for a short time, and our time comes and our time goes, and there was generations behind us. And if the Lord doesn't return soon, there'll be generations past us, right? And maybe some of us get in the history books and maybe some of us don't. But really, what he's saying here is it just keeps going. Life keeps going. The earth goes on, and he says the earth remains forever. And it does. And it does. I mean, because we know that when Jesus returns, that he's going to, everything's going to be changed, but this earth is going to be made new. And it's going to be an existence that's going to go on forever. And so when we talk about under the sun, it's talking about in our time before Jesus returns. Now here's another one, Ecclesiastes 5:7, and I'll hit this one and two more after this that he says to kind of sum it up. Ecclesiastes 5:7 says, "For when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity, but God is the one you must fear." And so he's talking about in our lives, man, we talk about our dreams and we talk about all these things that we talk about and stuff, and he says really in terms of an eternal perspective, it's really vain. And yet we put all of our stock in. And I want to just stop for a moment and say, if you've got dreams and stuff, I'm not trying to stomp out your dreams. And what I want to say also is maybe God's given you some things on your heart to accomplish and that kind of thing, and I want to be your biggest cheerleader. I'm not trying to stomp on it this morning. But what the Word of God is saying is if these are things that aren't eternal in ramification, they are temporary. They are temporary. And one of the things that I want to say as far as this message will be this morning is, are we going to put everything into the temporary, or are we going to put our efforts into something that's it's all and everlasting as far as that's concerned? So when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity. But God is the one you must fear. Ultimately, whenever we look at all of our dreams and all of our conversations and all of that, we want God in the center of that. The most important thing for a Christian is that God is in the center of it. Amen? And then Ecclesiastes 6:9 as we move down through here. Ecclesiastes 6:9 says, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the appetite. In other words, he's saying it's really better for us just to be able to see than to have a wandering appetite. Hey, I think I want to try this. Hey, I want to do that. Hey, I want to go here. I want to do this. I want to accomplish this. I want to do that. And we spend our lives pursuing these different things. And he said it's just better just to be able to see with clear eyes than that kind of thing. He says this also is vanity and a striving after the wind. And so we look at the striving after the wind, and what I want to say is we want to join God in the activity He's doing. Because what God is doing is He's taking things on an eternal perspective, things that are going to be everlasting. And so we're either striving after the wind or we're actually joined in with God and doing the pursuits. And I want to say that God gives us particular pursuits when we're walking with Him that actually take us in a more eternal and less vain or not a vain direction. So we're either in it in our own strength, in our own wisdom, in our own pursuits, or God's in the middle of it, is basically what we're saying here. And really, I can back that up with how he ends the book of Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, he says, the end of the matter, and this is how he sums it up. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So we look at the book of Ecclesiastes and the summation of all of these things to avoid vanity. The thing that's lasting is keeping God's commandments. This is the duty of mankind. But this is the duty of mankind with mankind knowing Jesus Christ as his or her Savior. Because outside of that, we really don't know who God is. A lot of people say that, well, I believe that there's a God, and I know that there's a God, but have they trusted in Jesus Christ? Have they repented of their sins, knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for their sins, and ask Him to forgive them of their sins, and ask Him to be the Lord of their life, and give their lives to Him? And when we do that, we are born again, we're changed. And when we're changed, then the potential of our lives from being something that's just vain, that lasts a few years, like 60, 70, 80, 90 years, and in some cases, 100 even. Is that all it's going to be, or is it going to be something that's really far more reaching, eternally reaching? And this is what Paul is actually talking to this church at Philippi about in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. And what I want to say before we get to my first point this morning is when we're submissive to God, He puts our salvation into action. I want to say that again. When we're submissive to God, He puts our salvation into action. That means whenever we know Jesus Christ as our Savior and we're submissive to Him in our lives, He puts our salvation into something that produces. Now, I just want to stop there and have us think about that before we get into the first point. And the reason why I want us to think about it is when we talk about salvation, salvation is so much more than, someday I'm going to go to heaven and have eternal life. Salvation is something that starts the minute that we ask Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And what Paul is telling us, or is going to be telling us in this morning's sermon, is salvation is something that's on the inside that needs to be worked out. But not only that, it's something that God means to happen. He means for us to take this salvation and to do something with it. And the way that he terms that is working out our salvation. So that leads to my first point this morning. And my first point this morning, point number one, is our salvation working out. And we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 to look at this. Here's a question before we actually read that. What is our salvation for? What is our salvation for? Most people, when we'd ask that, they'd say, where I can have eternal life. And that's true, that our salvation does give us eternal life, doesn't it? But really, more than anything, our salvation is to glorify God and to give glory to God. And so if we're giving glory to God, then it means it's something that our salvation is meant to be lived. It's meant to be worked out. What is happened on the inside is something that comes out in our lives. It's expressed. And it actually has something to do that gives us purpose and takes us away from the vain aspect of life and actually puts something of purpose in it. So existing or actually seeing the world change. I want to see the world change for the good, by the way. We know the world is changing, but we want the world to change for the good. We want to make a difference. And so it's time that Christians, we actually have an opportunity as Christians to see the world change in a powerful and positive way. And not only just the world changed, but when we talk about that, that means that souls are getting saved. Lives are being changed. Families are finding health in the families. Children are finding Jesus. Our neighbors. And if Christ found everybody, what a different world it would be. You know, we can have an argument about whether the country's getting better or whether it's getting worse. I personally think that it's getting worse. I think that at one time America would be, for all its faults, actually had some strong points as far as I think that there was a lot of pursuit for Jesus. Like if we were to go back in time, we would see a lot more people going to church and going to church and actually being an important part of families, where we're seeing it now, it's like not so much, because a lot of people are really kind of tired, to be honest with everyone here. They're kind of tired of some of the stuff that goes on in church that really, I will say, is vain. Not really having that eternal perspective and that eternal purpose. And so Paul is talking to this church at Philippi, and he's going, you don't want to be that church. He's telling them, you don't want to be that. And he's saying to us today that we don't want to be that kind of church either. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, the Word of God says this. Paul says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So this is where we start in this, with working out our salvation. We talk about this. Just to kind of set this up, it will be 8 years in June that I've lived in Midland, or in this area anyway. We actually lived in Odessa for a year before we actually got to Midland, and everybody's like, well, wow, you finally made it. And that kind of thing. But honestly, we've been here in this area in the Permian Basin now for, in June, it'll be 8 years for me. It's already 8 years for Tanya. She got here before I did. She's been here about 8 years now. But when we first got here, over there by where the Chick-fil-A is, by the hospital, there's a building there. Everybody knows this building, right? They've been working on that thing since I moved here. And guess what? It's not done. Right? Everybody knows it's not done. Now, I'm not complaining. I'm not being a bad citizen or anything like that. I'm just making an observation, okay? Nobody get upset politically or anything like that. I'm just saying that building has been incomplete, and I've seen a little bit of changes in it in the past 8 years. A little bit. They got some shiny glass on it now and that kind of thing. And here's another one. I remember when we were coming into this area, and I remember we took this outer loop, and they were working on this outer loop, because I remember trying to find my way through that mess, driving a U-Haul at like 11 or 12 o'clock at night. And they're still working on it. It's not complete either. And at one time, they were even saying, when we first moved here, that there was going to be a 50-story or a 55-story building downtown, and well, we know what happened to that. And a lot of people are like, that's probably a good idea, right? But what my point is here is there's a lot of stuff that we ask ourselves, are they ever going to finish this? Are they ever going to complete it? And what we see here when we look at these things here is our salvation. Let's talk about our salvation in those kind of terms. Are we going to complete our salvation? Or are we going to be like that building that sits there incomplete for the rest of our lives? And so Paul is saying that to work out your salvation. He's telling them to work it out. And he says here that it's something that we need to see completed. When we look at this working it out, it's talking about something that takes us to completion. Alamo Heights Baptist Church and every other local New Testament church has a job to do, and it's to be completed. But what we see a lot of times is we see what we're doing in church of, well, we start off really strong, but then we stop and we don't go anywhere. And so Paul is telling them, man, you got to work your salvation out. It's not just enough to be saved and say, someday I'm going to heaven. That's incomplete. Now, I'm not saying that means we don't have our salvation. I'm just saying that's not the purpose of salvation in itself. Is the purpose of salvation is for what's on the inside of us to be worked out in this life. Can we please understand that salvation means so much more than having eternal life? It means that we have something to complete while we're here on this earth in whatever time that we have. I was called to be a pastor, and one of the things that I've got to say as far as being called as being a pastor is I can't stop now. I can't stop now. A lot of people talk about retirement, or a lot of people go, do you feel like your job is done here, and that kind of thing. And we see pastors a lot of times go, well, I did my 8 years, and so I'm going to stop now. I can't stop now. I can't stop now. We've got to do what Jesus has given us to do for the rest of our lives. And what I want to say to you, to each one of you, now that I've thrown myself under the bus, is what I want to say to each and every one of you is, what does God want you to do with your salvation? Now, I'm not going to tell you that all I have to do with my salvation is to be a pastor. Because we know that there's so much more to it. We know that every one of us are to make disciples, right? The Word of God tells us that we're to make disciples. The Word of God tells us to share our faith with other people. And so my question is, in your calling and the whatever God's given you to do in your life, how are you going to reach the lost through the avenues that God's given you? Amen? Think about the people that you work with. How are you going to reach them? How are you going to share your faith with them? Are you going to share your faith with them? Some people go, man, I used to do this and I used to do that and I was in this ministry and I was in that ministry, but I'm done now. And I just want to say, so it's complete? You've worked out your salvation and it's complete. And I also have got to say, because so many times when people hear that we talk about working out our salvation, they think that we're talking about working for our salvation. No, when Jesus Christ saved us, we were saved. And we were changed. And so since we were changed, it's something that it was changed on the inside that we need to be moving to the outside. In other words, the rest of our life will not be complete unless we work it out. And so many Christians, and this is why I included Ecclesiastes in this, so many Christians today are like going, man, I got saved and that's where I'm going to stop. This church, we have to make a decision. Are we just going to be a church that meets on Sunday morning and then we're just going to stop? I mean, we've got to make that kind of decision. And Paul is telling this church at Philippi, he's going, the decision is to work it on out. And that's what he's talking about here. So when we're saved, God gives each one of us a plan. He's got a plan for you, and he's got a plan for this church also. You know, here's something that's really important that I want everybody to listen to. Please listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Working out our salvation is the thing that God does to remove us from a vain tract in our life. Do you want your life to amount to something? Do you want to have dreams and do you want to see great things happen? And you say, yes, I do, and that's why I do what I do and that kind of thing. But I just want to tell you, what part of that has everything to do with actually the expression of the gospel and the changing of lives forever? Think about that one for a moment. Because everything that according to what the Word of God's telling us is, we can accomplish a lot of things on this earth. And it might not be something that really amounts to a hill of beans to the generations past us. Now maybe you're one of those people that'll be in the history books that they'll remember for a good long time. But I got to tell you, when we look at how they do the history books, they may rewrite it, and what might be good today might not be good later, right? And we look at those things. And so we want to get on God's plan and we want to be on the right track as far as that. You know, God, the Bible tells us that when we're saved, that we're given a measure of faith. We're given a particular measure of faith, all of us. And this measure of faith means that God gives us, He's the one that gives us the faith. He's the one that gives us the faith to even trust Him to be our Savior. Amen? He's the one that does it. We don't have anything to do with our salvation. He gives us His faith. But how many times does God give people faith? They're saved. They have faith. They've been given that measure of faith. And they don't use it. They don't use it. Or when we talk about it, our church here, we've been given a measure of faith collectively. Are we going to exercise our faith and see what God wants to accomplish here in Midland? Or are we just going to sit still and say, we're not going to work this thing out. We're not going to finish it. And this is what Paul is talking about in there. When he's talking about all he's obeyed. Now that I'm gone, continue to work it out. Paul's telling that church, don't stop because I'm not there. He's saying to that church, keep going. Right? And so when he talks about the working out our faith, working it out, working out our salvation, when he talks about working out our salvation, the word work actually comes from the word in the Greek, energeo. And when we look at that word there, it's where we get energy. It's where we get the word energy. It's where we get our word energy. And when we look at this, that energeo means effectively producing. It means effectively producing. So when he says, work out your salvation, he's saying, effectively take what's on the inside of you and have it produce something. It's not just a matter of, I'm just working it out by wearing my t-shirt or putting a verse on Facebook or having a bumper sticker that says, God is my co-pilot. And I just want to say, if God is your co-pilot, man, you're not sharing the driving with God. He's the driver, period. Right? So I don't even like that bumper sticker. Man, some people pick apart everything, don't they? But you know, what we're seeing here is we're seeing that God gives us this measure of faith, and this faith that we have is something to be worked out. It's something to be active. And so when we look at this word energeo here, it means something that's active and producing. And that's what he's saying to the church at Philippi. And that's what the Word of God is saying to us today, is church and individuals in here. Are you going to work out your salvation? Are you going to see it complete? Or are you just going to be a legend in your own mind, love? You know, we always talk about, we're always really famous about going, man, when I was in high school, I did this in football, or I did this in baseball, or I did this in track, and we talk about it. And I've got a friend that I really like and everything, and I hope he's not listening on the podcast and everything. But I've got a friend that, man, that's all he talks about now. And I want to say to him, you do know that we're about 30 or 40 years away from that, right? We don't do that anymore. But that's where he lives. That's where he lives. And what I want to say is, how about right now? And how about in the future? And let's talk about this in terms of serving Jesus Christ. Are you just saved? Or is there something that needs to be worked out in your salvation that will accomplish something that takes you beyond something just vain? Now, I don't know. Some people are like, I don't really care. But I'm kind of the kind of person where I'm like, man, I don't like the way that sounds. I don't like to read Ecclesiastes, because sometimes I read it and I'm like, man, that's stinking depressing. You know? But it's under the sun. And what he's saying is, if it's not for the glory of God and God's not the one that's the driving force behind it, it is vain. And we don't like to hear that. We don't like to hear that because we're Americans. And we're Americans and we're changing the world. And that kind of thing. Which leads to my second point here. Not only do we want to work out our salvation, but we need to be lights. Lights that shine in the darkness, Paul says. And so what I want to say is, it's easy. It's totally easy to blend in. It's totally easy to blend into darkness. What I mean by this, well, here's kind of an illustration. Here's kind of an illustration that I want to share. When I was a youth pastor, we went to church camp one year, and I had a bunch of, oh my gosh, a bunch of junior high and high school boys in my cabin. Talk about a nightmare. And let me just say, I heard an amen, and evidently somebody else has done this too. But here I was with them, and I was a lot younger then, and I guess I had more energy then, because I really don't think I could do it now. But they decided, since it was really dark in our cabin and all the lights were off in the camp, that they should have a pillow fight. And when I say talk about a pillow fight, I mean you'd be like standing there, and they'd get a pillow, and they'd just blam, and they would hit you. And some of those boys could really hit you with the pillow pretty doggone hard to where it made your head kind of ring. Yeah, I was the kind of youth pastor, I'm like, ha-ha, this is fun. Because I was a kid myself, and I know there's some people like, you kids, you stop that. And that wasn't me. I was the dummy that was in there hitting them with a pillow too. But I just got to say, there was this one kid, he had his shirt off, you know, and he was like laying in his bed, and he had his shirt off, and he was so white that he glowed in the dark. He did. He was so white that you could see him in the darkest of nights. Now, everybody else, we were kind of hidden. It was dark. And that's what I want to say is most of the times, unless you're this one kid, it's really easy to blend into the dark and not be seen. Except for this one kid. And he was like, Brother Robert, why do I keep getting hit more than everybody else? And I didn't have the nerve to tell him, it's because you glow in the dark. Anyway, it's really easy to blend into the dark. It is. Now listen to verses 14 and 15. Paul says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Let's talk about these two verses for a moment, and then we'll keep moving on. But first of all, we see the term grumbling and murmuring and disputing. And so one of the things that he was saying to the church at Philippi is, you don't have time for that kind of stuff. A lot of times when we talk about church, it's the thing that people don't want to go to church because of, right? I don't want to go to church because of the little games that go on. And Paul's saying that really that's not what church is for. Now that may come as a surprise to a lot of people that have been to church for some time. That might come as a surprise to a lot of us in a Baptist business meeting. But whether it comes as a surprise to us or not, the Word of God says and telling us that we're to not have those kind of things. And so when we look at those kind of things, but what is this grumbling and mumbling and disputing? What is it really that it is? Well, basically, the meaning of that is a low-toned, behind-the-scene questioning. I question this. I question that. I wonder why we do it this way. And I wonder when we're going to do this. And why didn't we do it this way, like the way that we used to do it? Or are we going to do it differently? Or is it just going to be the same? I mean, on and on and on and on. And I just got to tell you, that's vain. It's got nowhere. It's got nothing to do with what we're supposed to be doing. But what Paul is saying is, what we're to be concerned with is being blameless and innocent children of God without blemish. We're to have a good testimony. And he's talking to a church, and in this particular church at Philippi, we'll see as we get further down into the book of Philippians, we see a couple of ladies that were having this kind of an issue. And Paul was introducing it and saying, that's not what you're there for. So what are we there for? What are we there for? Well, we're there for our salvation and the light of our salvation to be shining out. Alamo Heights Baptist Church and every local New Testament church is here to actually build each other up, to grow, and actually be a light to the rest of the dark world. That's what he's saying there. We're to be a light in this dark world. And so our light of salvation should be working its way into the darkness. Our salvation should be working its way into the darkness, is what he's saying. We've got to get this. If we're going to be a church of purpose and not vanity, then we've got to have our light shine into the darkness of the world in Midland and all around us. We don't have any time for the murmurings and the disputings and all of those kind of things. There's no place for it, Paul's saying. He's saying, we're to be people that are to be producing. And the only way that's going to be happening is if we come together, like we've talked about in some of the previous messages from Philippians, is where we're one. Remember? He says we're one. And we're one, and we're building each other up, and we're accomplishing something. Listen, Paul is telling them, and he's telling us, that we have a job to do. We have a salvation to work out. And so I once again bring up the question, will Alamo Heights Baptist Church be a church that is working out their salvation, being a light into this darkness? Will we be the people that aren't just like, I'm saved and that's good enough? Will we be a part of something great, or will it be something just vain that in 100 years, like, who cares? What difference does it make? Listen, I want to see as many people as a result of what we do here in this church and what we do as a human being, bringing people into heaven and being there forever. Amen? I want to see souls saved. I want to see young families come in here with their kids, and when they come in here with their kids, they learn about Jesus, and it makes a difference in their lives, and it helps their marriages, and it helps those things, and everything becomes more healthy and not vain, because God's right there in the middle of it instead of a human being. Because we all know, no matter how much a human being tries, it becomes very vain and flawed. So sometimes we love the drama that happens, but if we love the drama and if we're just going to play the game and we're just going to seek the things of the world, then we're just going to blend right on in with the darkness. We are at a crossroads in this church. We are. Every church is at a crossroads right now. Every church that's ever been always gets to a crossroad. And that crossroad is, are they going to just operate in a vain fashion, or are they really going to be something that is there to actually bring eternal ramifications in the lives of people around them? And I got to tell you, it's going to mean that we make a decision that I'm not just going to be a saved person, but I'm going to be a saved person that is here on purpose for a purpose. And I'm not going to just be a saved person that is a legend in my own mind that I used to get something done. I'm still alive and breathing. And there's still work to be done. There's still people to reach. We've got to get busy. It's a tough world that we're living in. And might I just add again, when we look around everywhere, man, the driveways are full of people that aren't at church. They're not going to come to church. We've got to reach them outside of these church walls. We've got to. We've got to. I'm looking around. I don't see that many people, but I am looking around and seeing a core group of people. And the Word of God is challenging us this morning. Will we do it, or will we just go off into vain history? And that's a fact. And maybe we don't like to be talked to that way, but this is what Paul is saying to this church. And this is why he's saying this to him. He's saying, work out your salvation. Don't just be a saved person. Work it out. So, our light of salvation should be shining. What good does it do for my light to shine just to you? How many people in here know Jesus Christ as their Savior? You know, hopefully everybody. Hopefully everybody in here. And so my light shines to you and you go, well, that's great. Way to go. Way to go. That's pretty vain. But what if your light shines to somebody else and they get saved as a result of it? Now you're making a difference. Now it's gone past something vain to something purposeful. Think about your coworkers, maybe some of your friends at work. Don't you have any friends at work? Don't you? I hope so. Did somebody say no? I didn't hear that. Okay. Even if they're not your friends, even if they're not your friends, do we want them to go to hell? Do we want their lives to actually find some purpose? Do we want actually something good to happen in their family and in their marriage and their kids? And whether people want to believe this or not, God's got the answers that the world is looking for. And so the preacher in Ecclesiastes said, everything else is vanity. That's under the sun. Let's get past that. Let's live for the kingdom of heaven. Let's do that. Jesus says in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is the light that the world needs, the Word of God's telling us. He's that light, and we're being told in Philippians that we're to be reflections of that light. Not hidden, not dark like everything else, but actually being reflections of that. And then he says in John 12:46, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Jesus is saying that his whole reason for coming to this world was not to be a good teacher and say nice things and isn't he wonderful and all that kind of stuff like a lot of people like to say. It says that he came, and he said he came in the world to be a light and for those people to believe in him to take them out of darkness. Why is the world dark? Because the world lives in a vain existence. Third and final point this morning. Going from vanity to purpose. Going from vanity to purpose. And what we've disclosed in the last couple of weeks in this series is life without Christ is meaningless. Life without Christ is meaningless. There's a lot of people say, my life is not meaningless, and I don't have Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I just want to say, well, what meaning does it have in 200 or 300 years? And what meaning did it have beforehand? And I'm just telling you, life without Christ is meaningless. Because life isn't just 70, 80, 90 years or 40 or whatever. Life is eternal for the Christian. And actually, death is eternal also for the non-Christian. It's an existence. It goes on. And so, life without Christ is meaningless. It's vain. And that's what the guy in Ecclesiastes, the writer in Ecclesiastes is telling us. Right? But you know, life without Christ is meaningless even for the Christian. And even for the church. What kind of church wants to be in existence without Christ and His purposes and our salvation being worked out? What purpose is it? It would be meaningless. It would be just another club. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 16 through 18, as we finish today's verses in Philippians, it says, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. There's that word vain. Paul's saying that he wants to get to the point, and he's telling this church, this is why you work out your salvation, because you don't want to get to the end, or when Jesus returns, whichever comes first, you don't want to get to the end and say, I really didn't accomplish anything. He says that he want to be proud that you didn't do this because you want to stand before Jesus and go, man, Jesus, I did what you told me to do. I went where you told me to go. I said what I was supposed to say. And Jesus says, well, all of those things are going to be things that add layers to your future existence. Oh, well, now that people don't like to talk about it, but that's a fact, whether we like to talk about it or not. And then he says in verse 17, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Paul is saying this from a prison cell, and he's not knowing whether he's going to get to live or whether he's going to keep going. But what he is saying is, even if I'm just poured out as a drink offering, that's a great thing, and I'll explain that here in just a minute. And he goes, and he finishes in verse 18, likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Life in Christ takes us from darkness to light. Life in Christ takes us from darkness to light. Life in Christ takes us from vanity to purpose. It takes us to a brilliant life now and forever. And if you're sitting here right now and you're going, I'm a Christian, I don't know how brilliant it is, then I challenge you to get into the Word of God and step out in the faith that's given you and start sharing your faith and start making disciples and see if your life doesn't become brilliant and other people's life become brilliant as a result of it also, because that's really where it all happens. But here's the question. Will your salvation be worked out? Will it be something that's worked out? Will our light as a church and as individuals, will our light be shining in the darkness? Our lives are meant to be changed forever, not to be vain and purposeless, but actually something really meaningful. Now, Paul mentions this, even if he's poured out as a drink offering. Back in the sacrifices, when we look in the Old Testament sacrifices, the sacrifice itself, we know that represents Jesus Christ and Him being the, and it was a picture of how He was going to be the payment for our salvation and how a life had been given to be the payment. And what they would do is they would take wine and they would pour that wine upon that sacrifice and steam would come off of it. And steam would come off of it. And when the steam would come off of it, you go, well, what does that really mean? This is what Paul is saying. He's saying, here's the sacrifice, Jesus Christ. He's the center of purpose. It's what it's all about. And Paul says, man, if I'm just that drink offering that's poured over that sacrifice, that it just blended in with Jesus, and I'm just steam coming off of that, then that's something that brings glory and shows the evidence of a purposeful sacrifice. And if that's all it is that my life is, it actually is something that steam that manifests to the rest of the onlookers that the sacrifice means something. And so I want to ask you, when people see us and they see that our salvation, we say that our salvation means something, then where's the steam? Where's the steam? Where's the steam? So, our faith that is worked out is all because of Jesus Christ, our sacrifice. Our faith is that thing that's worked out because of Christ, our sacrifice. The only way that we are able to work out our salvation is because of Jesus Christ. He's changed us. He's changed us. And it's supposed to be something that's working itself out, that we look at that. Here's the thing that's hard for maybe some to understand, but we exist to glorify Christ. You say, well, that's it? That's not very purposeful. You have no idea until we actually live to glorify Christ to see what God can do in your life. Listen, I can try all I want to do everything that I dream for and everything, but I'll never have the power that God has. I will never have it. I will never have it. And you will never have it except Him working in us and through us. We need to be lights in the darkness. We need to be that steam that the world sees, to where we can actually have this life of purpose also and make a difference. And this is what Paul is saying to this church. He's saying, hey, you want to just exist, or do you want to work out your salvation and see God do some amazing things that last forever? And so, this is the common purpose that we want to accomplish as a church. Or it's not. I mean, it's one or the other. It really is. And it's not going to happen just because the preacher does it. It's going to take a few of us making that determination also. But not just because you're being challenged. It's like the Word of God's asking the question, are you saved? And if you're saved and you've been born again and there's a change on the inside, it's not supposed to just stay there. It's supposed to be worked out. It's supposed to be worked out. And it's not temporary. It's supposed to happen until it's complete. We don't want to be like one of those buildings that are built and they never get finished. It never happens. When we get ready to see Jesus, we want to actually see this thing through to completion. And so, will we be the lights in the darkness that reflect Jesus Christ and His light? Will we be the steam that people see as a manifestation? And so will we allow Jesus Christ to give us the purpose in our lives, or will it be vain? And that'll all happen whether or not we decide we're going to work out our salvation or keep it on the inside. Let's stand.